Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning to everyone. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. I loved our worship this morning. And I hope those that are listening on the web that you'd certainly have some good worship time yourself. Turn on a good Christian song, get some good stuff going, watch a good video there, and just get some good praise going to assist us in doing that. This morning I wanted to talk about, are you a messenger of God or not? And that's something that only you guys are going to be able to really answer. But I want you to, I'm not going to go over all of these chapters, but in Malachi, just a short book in the scriptures in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, when you get a chance, read all four chapters, chapters 1 to 4. They're short. Gives you a good little glance here. That's our scripture reference for today, Malachi chapters 1 through chapter 4. And I just wanted to give you a little background on that. Malachi, whose name, by the way, means messenger of Yahweh. Wow. Back in those days, they had understanding of these names. You know, that it meant something to them. And so his name meant messenger of Yahweh. And he was around in the time of Nehemiah. And for those history buffs around here, that about 430 BC. So, and I think they've changed that now to BCA, before the Christian era. Baloney. I'm going to call it before Christ and AD. Anno Domino is still going to be in my writing. So whatever, all this progressive stuff is not going to, it's not going to make me progress except in the things of the Lord. So, but anyways, Malachi, there's so many things that we see in the Old Testament that truly are that foreshadowing. It was like a forerunner of what was going on in the New. But the Old Testament is the Old Covenant. And it was made up of many different eras of, kings and the law, and just all sorts of things, the patriarchs, etc., etc. And then the New Testament is the New Covenant. And that is through Jesus Christ. And that is what's so powerful. The whole thing changed. Jesus, a new and living way and a new covenant. But he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. So that in Jesus, you now have access to God, just like a priest, in the presence of God. And your physical being becomes what was back then in the Old Testament, becomes the temple of the Spirit of God. Now, Malachi directed his message of judgment. Oh, we don't like that one. Someone correcting us and saying that, hey, there's going to something, bad things are going to happen if you do this, good things are going to happen if you do that. We always like to hear about the good things. We don't like to modify our behavior. We don't like to change. We don't like to come under submission. We read about God's freedom, and we think that people, like today in our country, we think the freedom our founding fathers talked about is a free-for-all. Well, they never amended it to be a free-for-all. If you don't have a very high standard with free people, you're going to lose your freedom, because then it becomes anarchy and just a free-for-all. We're praying that not to occur, at least during our lifetimes here in this country. But there was a problem in Israel that Malachi was addressing. And it was full, Israel at that point in history, was full of corrupt priests. There was a negligence of the people in offering their tithes and offerings. They had mixed marriages with the pagan, just like today. You have to marry someone who doesn't know the Lord. You can just start incorporating some of this ungodly behavior and language and dress and direction and mission and etc. of all the foulness that's around us. And so no matter what you name it, it just might be an old name from before, a new name now, it's still the same junk. So what Malachi was addressing back there, I can freely talk to us today about it, because it does address us too. And they also had a false sense of security in their relationship with God. Just because they were going to the temple, and just because the priests were wearing all the things and obeying God in their colors and their robes and their sacrifices and the altar and all the ablutions and all, they were doing all the physical things of the law, but the spiritual life was rotten. They were corrupt. So they fool themselves into thinking, I'm okay with God. Me and God, we're doing good here, because I show up and I obey the law. God says, if you say you love me and do not obey me, you're a liar. So I'm not telling you what I believe. I'm telling you what God has said. And it's up to each individual not to believe me, but to take that before God and have Him convict your heart. Because if you just have information in your head, it's never going to work. Because as soon as some other information that sounds good or looks good replaces that, you're done. Don't live in information. It has to be transformation. And that can only happen when you give yourself to Jesus Christ and let Him come inside. And not the Adam nature anymore, but the God nature be what your foundation of everything you think, you say, and you do. Now, Nehemiah really knew that the people of God had become so sinful that the prophets, that people used to go, oh, listen to what our God has said. When they knew it was God speaking, they had become so corrupt, they didn't pay attention to Him anymore. It's like today. Mm-hmm. People are saying, listen, this is not proper what you're doing, the drunkenness and the carousing and the sexual perversions. We're not trying to put law on you. We're just saying that's unholy. It's unclean. It's not going to bring you goodness. It's not even wise to live that way. God didn't give us rules. He gave us wisdom. You're throwing it all away. And what are people doing to you? They're laughing at you. Our young people today who don't want to be doing some of these things, who are not looking at the pornography, not jumping in bed and having sex with everyone coming down the road, who aren't out doing drugs and aren't out drinking and aren't cursing and swearing and carousing and rebelling against their parents and every portion of authority. Instead of being applauded in our society, they're being mocked. They're being shoved to the side. Oh, you prude. God is not a providential prude. God has set a standard that says this will bring you a healthy relationships. This will bring you strong families. This will make a strong company or a business or a country or a nation. Amen. Whoa! So it's not laws. It's God's love saying, look, I know what's broken. I know how you react improperly one with another. Have me come in you. Let me be your motor and watch how the whole thing changes. When I speak in the high schools on my experiences in Vietnam, I have a wonderful opportunity, the first portion of the class, to talk about the tremendous moral change in our country from the time that my generation was fighting communism to a time that the terrorism that's around today to be fought, the culture involved in our country. And I go, whoa, we have had a sea change. You're only 15 or 16. You think it's always been that way. And I tell them it hasn't. And I show them a list of how things have changed, that the worst thing that high school seniors were doing back in the 40s was chewing gum and cutting in line. And now the high school seniors, it's drug abuse, it's violence, it's rape, it's teen suicide. I mean, it's like, whoa. I said, wait a minute. Something big has happened, and it's been the moral change in this country. How are we ever going to protect our country if we don't have morally accurate, like, people in the military and people in the government and, you know, just big change. So it really gets them to thinking a lot. But I have seen, it's like we're at the time of Malachi. I have seen this. Mm-hmm. My heart breaks and aches. Teachers are going up for sex charges because they're with their students. Pastors and youth counselors doing these devastating things. Financial indiscretions, ripping people off, lying, corruption. My gosh, I'm going, what? Now, that's always been around. It's been around from the beginning. Cain killed Abel. You know, don't ever think there's going to be peace on the earth with the Adam nature rolling. But my gosh. If you think this is just Old Testament, who the heck is Malachi and what's he talking about? Wake up. We have the same version, just maybe different vehicles and venues of this evil. It is here today. And you have a choice to either participate or not. And your lives need to be that messenger of God. And this was something that God, now don't think you're going to fool God. The people had become so sinful. They were not, God was speaking to them. You see, the difference between back then and now, they did not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God in them as we do. Before Jesus, there was no way for God to inhabit the people because of the sinfulness. It was not forgiven by Jesus yet. But God descended on people. He spoke to people. He spoke through people. But they did not have that indwelling. There was no way they could ever walk without sin. There was always sin in their actions in some way or another. We actually have the opportunity to be sinless should we choose. Because it says if you walk, God tells us, if you walk by the Spirit of God, you cannot walk by the flesh. It's sort of like you can't be inside and outside at the same time. You know, you either are or you're not. And you have a choice every second of the day to say, oh God, I put away that feeling I have. I put away that thought I have. I put away that circumstance right now. I reject it. I don't want it. I want you coming in me and out of me. That's what you spend your life. It's not living under law. It's living under the Lord. Because He is never going to cause you to sin, ever. He won't lead you to the wrong marriage partner. He won't have you do children at the wrong time. God will never lead a 14-year-old male to father a child. Ever in today's world. Ever. God won't lead you. Because there's no way to support that child. There's no way to have a job, to have anything that you see what I'm saying? And the drug and the alcohol abuse, God will never lead you to that. Because it breaks up families, it destroys your body, it screws up your mind. You see, so it's not laws He's putting on you. His wisdom, if you get by His Spirit, led by His Spirit, and you'll have fun. There's all sorts of vibrant, vital things out there in sports and in travel and in art and all sorts of things to fill your heart and your mind to tremendous portions of happiness. Many of our people are suffering today, not because God has not blessed them, but because they are living under the yoke of sin. It's the sin that is bringing problems into their lives. And just like we spoke on our last, I think it was last Wednesday, on what it said in 1 Peter, it says, listen, you're going to have all sorts of suffering. And he addressed suffering for us. He said, just make sure your suffering isn't what you brought on yourself. We have some people that are in prison right now that we minister to. We love them when whatever. They're not there just because some flea came on them. That's something that happened. And they're going to have to deal with that. And we're going to love them, and we're going to help them. God doesn't throw them away. God loves them. They're still saved. But the end result of their hardship and their unhappiness is what they did. Now, a lot of our unhappiness will come because someone else did something wrong against us. So either way, God still is going to deal with it. But all the teaching is, make sure you just struggle with all your heart to make sure you don't bring all that stuff upon yourself. Now, for 400 years after Malachi, remember the prophet they didn't pay attention to, God was silent to His people for 400 years. And God wasn't in a snit. He didn't go, well, okay, you don't want to listen to my prophets, I'm not going to speak to you anymore. No. He knew they were not going to listen. This is a perfect God who is so full of love, but He's also full of justice. This is very, very powerful. He was silent to His people, not because He was angry, but God never wastes His words. If you are not going to listen, He will not speak. But He's going to do everything to encourage you to get to that point, and He knows when you're ready. So it's foolishness. It's got yik yak and about everything. Be led by His Spirit, by your life and your words. So God did not speak through another prophet's voice until when? Until John the Baptist. That was a long time. He was the very next prophet that God spoke to. So when God speaks, we need to listen. I don't want 400 years of God not, you know, talking to me. He is my guide. He should be every single thing you do. Now, feel free to get dressed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, oh God, I don't know what time to wake up. No. I'm not. Don't ever let faith throw away common sense. No. Work with your hands. Be diligent. God gives all the direction on that. But I'm constantly aware of His presence. God, oh yeah, I get in the van. God, I ask for Your protection. Give me guidance there. Have me at the right place and the right time and do what I need to do. It's amazing how much smoother my day is going, how much more I'm getting done instead of me filling it up. But also, I'm noticing how much different my calendar events is than what God's calendar of events. Sometimes my days aren't exactly what I've outlined, but I did get done what God has called. So in Malachi chapters 1-4, the disillusionment and the doubt that people had. Because see, Jesus hadn't come. They had been preaching for years to the people of Israel that the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah. We do the same thing. Because God doesn't answer our prayer right away, or the way we want it, or how we think. We set God on our time frame, and we usually are built with impatience in there. So they also became disillusioned and doubtful. And because of that, they opened themselves up to what was evil and not what was good. They started doubting God. They became very cynical. Some of them even started wondering, is there any God at all? And that's happening today. Some in our families and friends. Well, God has, someone still died. The babies got sick. Is there even a God at all? But see, their perception of God grew very dim because they were caught up in materialism and very external things. I asked, God didn't do. Now, many times we do pray and God, He gives us the thing we want exactly. And that's because we pray His will. But sometimes His will is for us to have something or be something, but it doesn't come till a little later. And we get disappointed because we wanted it in the 2-week time frame and God might have it in the 20-year time frame. So we just think, you know, after about 5 or 6 years ago, well, I guess that ain't going to happen. Mm-mm. God, I trust You. You know my heart, and Your prayer needs to be, if I'm praying wrong, then get me changed. I don't want to be praying foolishness and sitting around languishing, wondering if You're going to answer my cry. And our question is, do we do the same thing, you know, to God? We don't kind of get what we want, see it the way we want to. So the message in Malachi, when you read chapters 1 to 4, you're going to see the message is really to the backsliders. Come back to the ways of the Lord and the way He told them to, you know, live their lives. And their lack of blessing back in that 400 years was because of their blatant disregard for God's laws. Because they lived under law. They didn't have Jesus yet. Their blatant disregard. So that needs to be our flashing red light, our signal over what's going on. Am I in any area of my life not doing what You said? Now, you're not going to get all this straight. We have to live 4,000 or 5,000 years to even get through half of what God wants. But with what you know, because you're accountable for what you know, not for what you don't know, reflect before God. Spend that time in His presence. God, I don't want anything unholy in my life. Do not grade yourself. Do not call something unholy that isn't. You let God grade you. You let God lead you and God guide you. Now, some of the things Malachi covered some areas that were applicable back then. I just wanted to just quickly go through them today. Those in the priesthood, now, we're all priests now in the Lord. See, there's no temple to go to. We come and assemble here. This building is not holy. Some have made that error. The building is holy. Be quiet. Don't talk. It's the house of God. No. You are the house of God. Where you stand is holy ground. If you are submitting to Him, whether you're in a bank line or in Publix or going to school or going to work, wherever you are is holy ground. Your awareness of that is going to increase your hearing from God. It's going to increase your ability to understand what He's saying to you. It's going to stop your own evil and your own Adam nature from doing that. Your awareness, God, I have given myself to You. I've given You permission, because He'll never force Himself in you. That would be spiritual adultery. He'll never force Himself on you. When you go to Him and say, Jesus, I want You in my life. I'm sorry for what I've done. Forgive me and cleanse me. I want You to come in and start me new. And then each day as you go on, you'll fail many a day. Do not be discouraged. Get up. He's already forgiven you. It's okay. You're a child. I know. I'm having you grow up. He is the main teacher. You are the student. Let Him do that. But in the priesthood, this is what we need to be doing. You should be encouraging life, not death. You should be encouraging peace, not argument and animosity. You should be in total awe of God. Now, this is all in Malachi when you read it. I just kind of took it out to give us a little short framework here today. To be totally upright, as that messenger of God, totally upright. You cannot be a messenger of God. As I said, my heart aches. These messengers of God that are in big places. I mean, back in the old days, before all of our electricity and our electronics, you were only heard in the village you lived. Or you wrote a letter and you sent something over here, over there, as you were speaking of God. Now it's on TV and radio and the web and magazines and all over. And some of these people are used mightily of God. And they're in a dangerous place because the adversary's really going to get on them. And they have to constantly humble themselves before God. And my heart aches when a messenger of God has not lived a life encouraging life, peace, to be in awe, and to be totally upright. You can't have what you want. You can't think what you want. This belongs to God. Your gift of speaking to the people in teaching the things of God, your gift in song, your gift in whatever it is that God's giving, it belongs to God, not for you to take hold of and be so proud that you have this and that. The minute that starts, these men and women open themselves up, myself included, yourself included, open yourself up to evil that will sneak in. And it's not going to be open at first, be sneak in. This, so it ends up with adultery, it ends up with financial indiscretions, all sorts of stuff is going on. And the devil loves that, because when there's a messenger of God that falls prey to that, even if they repent and they're okay with God, sometimes God cannot use them in the magnitude he would have planned for them when they go fully off and they run off and they do all this stuff. Golly. And God says, what's done in secret is going to be in the open. You ask Jimmy Swaggart if that isn't true. That precious soul, powerful man of God, gifted in his voice and gifted in his preaching. Now, he's back in the ministry, but it's never anything like it was before. Now, God bless him. May he continue to do that. He's been forgiven for his sin. But talk about what he did in secret was out in the open. Now, that did change him. I thank God for that. The man is saved, and he's going on. But he's not used like he could have been used had that been unhindered. That adversary knows that. But just because you love God with all your heart, just because you know him, and just because God may use a gift he's given you to give back to the people, doesn't mean you're free from sin. It means you got to go through every day, just like everybody else, fighting the ravages of what is not of God and letting God's spirit rule. Now, the priests that were being admonished by Malachi, they did all this stuff. I mean, he was talking, and they didn't like it. They didn't pay attention. They had turned aside from God's directions and commands. So use this list as your checklist to make sure you're not doing that. They didn't pay attention to the details of God's command. They caused many to stumble, which the adversary loves. They corrupted the covenant. They were full of hypocrisy. Do what I say, not what I do. What a bunch of junk. They were unfaithful in their marriages. They condoned divorce. Hey, anything sound like today? They had false worship, some of it against things that were incorporated from the pagan world, and some things, false worship, meaning they were just saying the words. It had nothing to do with them. They were arrogant. They were not tithing. They were not holding people accountable. Oh, you pay me a little bit of money over here, and I'm not going to bring your sins forth in the assembly. Baloney. And they were not holding themselves accountable. This is big. Read it. Make sure you apply it to yourself. If you're totally honest, you'll know whether you are holding yourself to the highest standard of integrity. We need to be careful. Coarse or curse words can creep into your vocabulary without reading it, realizing it. I look on Facebook at some of our precious young people. They are good. They're wonderful. They're clean and wholesome, but they're using like these little abbreviations that mean coarse words. I didn't even know what they meant. I said, what does this mean? And I went, oh, geez. And yet I see it. You know, WTF, LMAO. These things are in there. My gosh. Even OMG. I said, God, OMG. Sometimes I'll put OM gosh. You know, God, you know, gee. What are we doing? It's because it's so prevalent in our society. We are desensitized to it. And by being led by his spirit, he's not going to make you some stupid prude. Oh, please, don't say that. Oh, you're not going to be addressing it. God isn't telling you to tell all those other people. He's saying for you, your example, because some of those people aren't ready to hear the word. God says they can't come to the Father except through me. And that was Jesus was talking about that. And he says, and they can't come unless I call them. And God is never going to waste his word. So you're going to waste yours, putting all sorts of stuff on people who aren't ready. Let your life be what you do, what you say. They're not going to know how you think, but your behavior is going to be the only Bible they read for a while. And that's what these priests were supposed to do. And they really messed it up. But it wasn't punishment from God. It's always, always that God is trying to warn us. It's always warnings. Be careful, my children. Be careful, my children. And and your integrity can be eroded very quickly. Oh, just fill out this form. It's so easy. Oh, I can make $1,000 if I don't check that box. Well, that box is what, you know. And your insurance. Have you ever had this problem before? Well, if I check it, my insurance is going to cost more. If I don't, you know what I'm saying? But you're lying through your teeth. So your integrity can be quickly eroded. Don't do it. Business owners, beware. And a lot of people don't. You know, when I was in the schools, I told you the other day that, I always ask the students, I said, if you think there's going to be peace, it's just not going to work because of mankind. Now, there can be more peaceful times, but there isn't going to be like world peace that people are hoping for because of humans. I said, there was barbarism. That's a long time ago. They came in and pillaged the village. I said, my dad fought Nazism. And my brother and I were involved in fighting communism. And I said to one of the high schoolers the other day, and what is the ism that your generation is fighting? One young girl said, capitalism. I almost fell over. You're kidding me. Free enterprise and a system of production is not an enemy. I said to her, honey, the ism you're fighting is terrorism. That is the big battle, and you're going to have to work it out. You young ones are going to have to come up with some good ideas how to do all this. Capitalism is a system of production that has turned out to work very well in a free society. But it doesn't work well when you have the erosion of the moral code. I said capitalism is not the problem. It is the bribery, the lies, and the corruption. That is the problem.
Amen.
Because if we had businesses, I said, I tell them, I hope you all make $1 billion. And you build a daycare center at your factory. You pay your workers $40 an hour. You do a medical and dental, not the government, who messes up everything because it's just too big. It needs to be little. It needs to be handling our defense and doing some of our roads. You know? Good grief. It needs to be little. And you need to have the money that you can make by hard work. And the indigent, not the lazy, not the liars of the world, the indigent and the truly disabled will have plenty to take care of them. We can really have almost a little semi-utopia, but it won't work because we have the nature of man at its worst right now. We had a country that was founded as a Christian nation. And even though they weren't perfect people, it was founded on Christian doctrines. And they tried to tell these things. The things I told you about Malachi and all this kind of stuff, when it was talking about to be upright and to be in awe of God, that was taught in the schools. It was taught in the businesses. It was taught the governors and the mayors. Go look it up. Don't just believe me. The governors and the mayors back in the early times of this country signed the letters one to another in the name of the most holy redeemer, Governor so-and-so. In the name of the most wonderful God, Governor so-and-so. So, Mayor so-and-so, they were honoring God in their lives as best they could. We had prayer and Bible in our schools, and those who didn't know God or had another religion were not offended because we were doing something that was very honoring. Telling someone to return a kind word for an unkind word isn't jamming something down your throat. It's giving you the principles to live by. And all of that is changing before our very eyes. Mm-hmm. So that our young people think that capitalism is an enemy to be fought? What a lying foolishness. There are other methods. You can have different production systems. Now, we have a government system and a different production system. I'm not going to get into that right now. But I'm just saying, either one, if you have bribery, lies, and corruption in the government, we have the foolishness we have now. Money going down the drain on stupidity and with cronyism all over the place. And then businesses that are supposed to provide, they do a service. We have great inventions. Our freedom has allowed us tremendous innovation and tremendous abilities to do what we have done in this great country. But someone very long ago, Alexis de Tocqueville, came and visited our country from France, and he said, what I have found is that America is great because its people are great. He saw people honoring God. He saw honesty and integrity. He saw people that made contracts. A man's word was his bond. He saw marriages that were together. He saw sexual purity. He saw these things reigning in our country. Now, there were some on the edges that weren't, but the majority of our people in this country had these very powerful, and they were Christian principles, whether they were Christians or not. Many of them were abiding by it because the whole society was inundated with it. And he said, America will remain great only as long as its people remain great.
Amen.
And that's the message I bring out to you today. I bring out in the community, and you have to be totally honest. Are you honorable, or have you become smug and complacent with pursuing excellence? No, excellence always has to be first. Have a little talk with Jesus. And just make sure that all of your life is really above board. And things won't work out well. It's not going to work for you. We have an entire Old Testament that tells you it's not going to work well for you. And then the New Testament switches over. Who was persecuted? The ones who were telling the truth. They were crucified and they were stoned and they were put in jail. Don't be surprised if you get, no one here has been stoned yet. Stoned in your past life when you were getting drunk and whatever you were doing, maybe. That's not anyone in here, I'm sure. But whatever. Understand what God is talking about. It's not going to work out well for you. He's not talking about rules. He's talking about there's a wiser way to life, and only. Not your basic Adam nature. It can't give it to you. It doesn't have it. It does not have the capacity to even obey God to the levels that he said, never mind what he said. You have to get Jesus Christ inside as the motor that runs you from this point on. And it won't work out for you. And it's not anger or punishment that God's talking about. It's just pure justice. I mean, you do that with your own kids. Now, honey, if you don't obey mommy, precious little Karen, I have a little 3.5-year-old lives at the house there with me, and her mommy tells her, and her daddy talks to her and talks her about these things in obedience. And I hear all the time, right here, right now. So she's calling her, you come right here, right now. And she's 3.5. Now, sometimes she does it, and she goes, yes, mommy, I'm coming. It's so sweet to hear her little voice. Yes, mommy, I'm coming. Mm. There's other times she doesn't. So mommy has to maybe do a little something. It's not because mommy hates her, it's because mommy loves her. So she puts her in the timeout chair. She hates the timeout chair. All mommy has to do is say, do we need timeout? Nope, I'm on the way. You see, she's being taught from a very young age that her wildness and what she wants to do is not good to have that rule, because her mother knows it's not just something incorrect. There's an Adam nature that if you let it get fed, especially in your early stages, it's going to be almost impossible to get rid of later on. But God's good. He knows how to work in all these things. So it's just too high a price to pay. You don't want you and all your lineage to be paying this high price of not obeying God. Mediocrity. This is such a famous saying. And I don't even know who made it, but mediocrity is not an option in the cause of Christ. Amen. That is so true. Excellence only. Now, if you have that, then that means you're going to be excellent. Yesterday, we had a whole bunch of workers here painting the place. Everyone was dealing with a level of excellence. They were doing the very best they could, whether they were cleaning the sign outside or painting or vacuuming. Everyone was at their high, even though they were tired and muddy and dirty and all sorts of stuff, all day long, 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 last night. They stayed and maintained the level of excellence, not because they were trying to impress each other, because each one came here with a heart of service. They were doing this for Jesus. God, I want to serve you. I want to help other people by sprucing up and maintaining our precious facility. So mediocrity, not an option in the cause of Christ. And just like in Malachi's time, and we're going to finish up with this, we are privileged to be called of God according to his purpose. And that's in Malachi 1:1-5. You'll find that specifically in there. We're privileged to be called of God according to his purpose. We have to remain ever diligent, this was the message from Malachi, against pollution encompassing the people of God. And pollution, everyone understands that. What's the Spanish word? ¿Qué se dice pollution en español?
Pollución.
It's almost the same thing. Pollution, pollución. Any other languages in here? You can add a word to it.
Politician.
Oh, yeah. Oh, pollution, politician. Oh, that's a good one. Pollution, politician. Yeah. Hey, pollution, politician. Oh, whatever. We have to remain vigilant against pollution encompassing the people of God. That's in Malachi 1, verses 6, and then chapter 3 through 15, for those of you that are writing these things down. And the last thing, as God's people, we are assured of his promises. And that's in Malachi 3, verse 16 through 4, verse 6. So let's read all of those things, but let's walk away today knowing we're privileged to be called of God. We have to fight against any pollution, and we are assured of the promises of God. Jesus will return for his people. Even some of the songs that we sang this morning. Will you be ready? That's your question to answer. That's not mine to answer for you. That's your question to answer. Be that messenger of God. Not just with the message of your mouth, but with the message of how you live your life. God bless you.